From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor, ladies and gentlemen, that you have chosen us, the Todd Starnes radio program, your host, Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. And today is really going to be a time of choosing for a lot of Republicans and a lot of elected Republicans in Indiana, where the Senate there in Indiana expected to vote today on whether or not to redistrict and basically provide two additional Republican congressional seats to the party. That's being decided. You've got five rogue Republican senators that are wanting to defy President Trump. One of them, by the way, is what is the clinical term here? Butt hurt over the president's use of the R word. No, not Republican. No, Dylan, that's not it. No, the other R word. No, not racist. No, no, that's not it. It's retarded. The senator very upset over the use of the president's language. The president has a potty mouth. We can't have a potty mouth president. That's not who we are as Republicans. So anyway, that's going on in Indiana. And then in the Senate, we're looking at the Affordable Care Act, which has a lot of people concerned on both sides of the aisle. But a lot of people very concerned about the price points there. We'll get into more of that a little bit later on. And then within the House of Representatives, where it's just a great big mess. So we understand a couple of things here. Yesterday, 13 House Republicans defied GOP leadership and voted with the Democrats to stop a presidential executive order on federal unions. So these 13 House Republicans, and we're going to name them here on this program, that's what we do, they joined the Democrats to reverse the president's executive order that would have cracked down on these really draconian federal worker unions. Congressman Jared Golden out of Maine is the guy who launched this effort. And here are the Republicans who voted with the Democrats. All of them, well, just about all of them, are Northeastern or New England Republicans. Some of them were not, and we'll go through the list here. Jeff Van Drew, Nicole Malliotakis, Nick LaLota, Brian Fitzpatrick, Rob Breschenhan, Don Bacon, that guy's a lunatic leftist, Mike Lawler, Tom Keene, Ryan McKenzie, Zach Nunn of Iowa, all you Iowa listeners, Zach Nunn, Chris Smith of New Jersey, Peter Stauber of Minnesota, and Mike Turner of Ohio. Unbelievable. Five House Republicans had signed on to Golden's petition, along with 213 Democrats. Those included Fitzpatrick, Breschenhan, Bacon, Lawler, and LaLota. It's inexcusable. I have absolutely no words for you other than this, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a lot of rhinos, and all of those people I just mentioned are rhinos. They're Republicans in name only. They stand against the president. Now, here's my take on it, and we're going to open up the phone lines on this, but it seems to me, and I've been a big proponent of Donald Trump and his agenda from day one, big-time fan. It seems to me, and I've had a chance to go through and look at everything the administration's been doing, it seems to me, at the very least, every single breathing Republican on Capitol Hill ought to be endorsing President Trump's agenda, and they ought to be backing it and doing whatever they can to get that agenda across the finish line. But you know what bothers me here, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to tell you what bothers me. What bothers me is the president of these great United States has to spend almost as much time fighting his own political party than he does the Democrats. It's outrageous. And it's unacceptable because nothing this president has put forward so far, I have not found anything objectionable, nothing at all. Really, Todd? What about blowing up the innocent Venezuelan fishermen? What about that, Starnes? All right. They weren't fishermen. They're narco-terrorists. And, ladies and gentlemen, I would rather have dead narco-terrorists than dead American citizens. How many people have been slaughtered on American soil as a result of the drugs pouring across our borders? How many? This is a direct assault on the homeland of the United States of America, and our president has a responsibility. He swore an oath to protect all of us from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So I say, blow them all up. And if you miss, blow them up again. Because one thing is clear out of that entire incident, or however many boats we've blown up, those drugs are not getting to the shores of America. And I thank President Trump for that. But instead, we have all of these Republican leaders, and Trump has been trying over the past really 8-9 years now, Trump has been trying to re-educate these Republicans and show them how you can fight back and what happens if you actually do fight back. You can actually win. I mean, how many times during the Bush administration, you guys remember the George W. administration? I mean, aside from getting us in two wars that we had no business getting involved in, he was a pretty good guy. Aside from the fact that he took away a lot of our civil liberties so that we could be, you know, safe in the name of the Patriot Act. Okay, he's still a good guy, and you know, had clever nicknames for everybody. He called a guy that was really tall Stretch. Good nickname. So anyway, George W. Bush, and we all liked him. I mean, he did a good job. I mean, the way he handled 9/11, standing on the pile, that was ground zero. Those were memorable moments of this of the Bush administration. And man, he called holy you-know-what from the media. They never gave that guy the time. I mean, they just would not give it a break. Wasn't he? He can't pronounce nuclear. He keeps saying nuclear. It's nuclear, sir. Nuclear. You say nuclear. Okay, we get it. He said strategery instead of strategy. Okay, we get it. Jeez, Lou. They wouldn't give the guy a break. And how many times were you, and I remember these days, how many times were you filling up your social media pages? And you're dead. Come on, I wish Bush would just give it to the media. He's just standing up there and he's taking it. It's like when he was doing the Iraqi press conference and some idiot threw a shoe at him and then threw another shoe. And he was dodging this way, dodging that way, dipping and diving and dodging the shoes that were being thrown at him. And people are saying, "Why can't you just fight back? Why can't you just go down there and just physically throw Helen Thomas out of the White House press briefing room? Just give her a big heave ho, Mr. President. Why can't you just smack around Sam Donaldson, Mr. President? Just do something. Just stop taking." But they wouldn't do it. Well, you know, Todd, that's not who we are as Republicans. No, we just stand up there and we just take the insults. We have to be bigger than them. But the problem is, the Republicans, they don't know how to fight. Trump's trying to teach them. And I don't know if they just don't want to. Maybe they're scared. I don't know. But they're just surrendering all the time. I'll give you a great example. President Trump begging and pleading Majority Leader John Thune to do something about the blue slip tradition in the Senate. Now, this is not a law. It's not some sort of a constitutional amendment. This is a tradition. A tradition. It's kind of like why we eat turkey at Thanksgiving. Nobody really likes turkey, but we eat it because it's the tradition. Some of you sneak in a roast beef, and that's great. It doesn't mean it's not Thanksgiving. It's still Thanksgiving. You're just not eating a dry turkey. Okay, that may not have been the best example, but you get the point. So anyway, John Thune was on Fox, and he was asked about all of this because President Trump is saying, this is causing me problems. And he was trying to be very nice to John Thune. Anyway, here's John Thune responding to the president of these great United States. Cut 23.
Too many great Republicans are being sent packing. None are getting approved and signed, President DJT. Can you explain to people just real quickly what a blue slip is? And are you going to do something that will deal with his concerns?
Well, this is something that applies just to district court judges and U.S. attorneys, and it allows individuals, the senators from those states, to be able to sign off on the people who are nominated to those positions. That doesn't apply to circuit court judges, obviously doesn't apply to Supreme Court judges. And we have moved his nominees through the process at a record rate. We will, by the end of this year, have a record number of his nominees approved to the executive branch, got his cabinet confirmed at the fastest rate possible. We'll continue to work on the judiciary, Dana, but this is a procedure that's been in place for a long time that both Republicans and Democrats support, because it gives them some input, particularly in those judges, the judicial appointments that are made in their individual states, some input into that decision-making process.
So you don't anticipate changing it?
I don't think it's going to change. It's been in place for a long time. And like I said, there are Republicans on the Judiciary Committee and off the Judiciary Committee, for that matter, who support this and support it strongly.
In other words, they support their traditions more than they support the leader of their political party. That's who the Republican, in a nutshell, that's who the Republican Party is, right there. They don't care about Donald Trump's agenda. And by the way, John Thune, the majority leader, is the same one. They won't do away with the filibuster. It is a tradition in the Senate. There's no mandate. There's no law on the books. So we're just going to pussyfoot around in the U.S. Senate. And the Republicans are just going to let the clock run. And that's what's happening right now. The clock is running. But somebody needs to tell the congressional GOP leadership that we're in the middle of a street fight to save the nation. And meanwhile, what are they doing? They're sipping the country club dry martinis at casino night while the Democrats are shanking the president's agenda in broad daylight. What is it Obama said? If they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun. But the Republicans aren't even showing up at the croquet mallet. What's up with that? 901-260-5926. It is a source of frustration, ladies and gentlemen, because we're on the verge of either doing something here or waving the white flag of surrender. And I'm telling you right now, you ought to be lighting up the phones of your elected leaders in the Senate and in Congress, and giving them a good piece of your mind, because we did not vote for this. And Donald Trump doesn't deserve this. It frustrates me that Donald Trump has to expend even an ounce of energy trying to convince his own party to do the right thing. Trump is trying to show them how to fight and how to win. But they don't want to do it. They do not want to do it. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Show. No, I'm not upset at all, Dylan. I'm in a very good mood, actually. I'm just a little frustrated with these Republican leaders who are afraid to do anything. They don't want to hurt people's feelings. And you heard Speaker or a Majority Leader Thune. You heard him actually reveal the dirty little secret. He was talking about the Republicans and the Democrats. The Republicans and the Democrats love the blue slip. I don't care. You know what? Why should we care what the Democrats think one way or the other? This is not about the Democrats. This is about the Republicans. More importantly, this is about the Trump administration's agenda. And what is the point of having the majority if you're not going to do anything with it? I'm just going to say this, and it needs to be said. The fact that we are still confirming President Trump's nominees for his administration almost a year later? That's unacceptable. And I'm going to tell you what should have been done. Day one, inauguration day, they should have convened the Senate. They should have suspended the filibuster, and they should have confirmed everybody in one fell swoop. Everybody. That's what they should have done. And they should have shoved those nominations right down the throats of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. And I know she's in the House, but that's exactly what John Thune should have done. But they don't want to hurt feelings. We all just want to get along, Todd. Can't you see that? Oh, I get the emails. I get a lot of blowback from Republican leadership at many different levels, not just the national level. I do. And I know it angers them because I'm not all that worried about what they think. I'm really not. And somebody needs to speak up on the national scene and say, hey, Republicans, you've got to shape up here and you've got to get your party in line. And I'm willing to do that. A lot of these other talk radio hosts are getting big money from these parties, big money. A lot of these famous conservative influencers and their podcast, they're getting a lot of money from places like Qatar and other Muslim countries. And now all of a sudden everybody's anti-Israel. Yeah, I just don't play that game. And I know it frustrates you, and I see, and it confuses folks as well. I get it. It's hard for me to keep up. One minute people are like, you know, they love Israel. The next minute they're Jew haters. Then at one minute they're condemning Islam, and the next thing you know they're running around wearing a hijab, reading from the Quran, and you're like, wait, what? When did that happen? So everybody's got money and power and fame. They're all looking for these things, and that's one of the reasons why the Senate Republicans really don't want to do a deep dive and get into a fist fight with the Democrats over this, because they love the access they get to all of the rich and the famous and, of course, the lobbyists. And for most of these folks, including people like Ilhan Omar over in the House, for them, Congress is really nothing more than a cash cow. I mean, when you look at all of these lawmakers that went into Congress with barely two nickels to rub together, and now they're multimillionaires many times over, I'm still trying to figure out how Ilhan Omar, the Somalian refugee who hates America, how she came up with $30 million. Somebody want to explain that to me? Unbelievable. So look, all that to say, Republicans, get it together. It's unacceptable that your president has to beg you on social media to do the right thing. That's embarrassing. And it's almost as if Speaker Johnson, who's a weasel, but Todd, he's a Christian man. He's an evangelical weasel. It's bad enough that you got Speaker Johnson and John Thune openly defying the president on a number of issues. It's bad enough. But now you have all these others that feel like it's okay to jump on board. And I'm telling you, this will come back and bite us in the derriere in the midterm elections. And I'm trying to prevent that from happening. We don't want that to happen. We can't let that happen. I don't want my president to have to go through what he went through in the first term in office. And I know you don't want that either. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5927. No, I'm not in a bad mood, Dylan. I just want to get that off my chest. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. Love this. It's Mannheim Steamroller. I forgot I had to say something. I was just enjoying the music. Dylan, can we enjoy some more music? I love that.
Of course.
Yeah. This is like President Trump's Christmas Rocky song. Run, Mr. President, run. I love it. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, Mannheim Steamroller music does make me happy, and it does put me in a good mood. And I'm a little frustrated with our Republicans right now, everybody. But we got to figure out a way. And maybe that's what we can do during the show. Maybe you have an idea. What can we do to convince these Republicans to get on board the president's agenda? Could you imagine? And just I want you to think about this for a moment. Imagine what Washington, D.C. would be like and where we would be as a country if every single Republican was just as fired up and was just as passionate as Donald J. Trump is. We could have millions of illegals already out of the country. We could be doing so much more. I mean, the president's, he's working on 3 hours of sleep a night. Imagine what could happen if we just If the Republicans in Congress just put in, I don't know, an 18-hour workday. But what is it that we need to do to convince them that we're going to have their back, that we're going to fight alongside of them, that we don't care? Look, we don't care what the Democrats are doing. Their parties suck. Republicans, we know how to party. We know how to have a good time. So maybe, just maybe, we need to, I don't know, do we send everybody a fruitcake? I don't know what we do. No, probably not a fruitcake. But what do we do? How do we convince the Republicans in Congress that it's okay to fight and we're going to have their back? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. I want to play some audio here, and we have a lot of audio to go through today. And there's a state lawmaker out of Kentucky, and I don't know if we may not have this audio, and if not, we'll grab it for you. But there is a state lawmaker out of Kentucky, and she feels really bad because she's white. I mean, it's sort of hilarious, actually. But we're watching this resurgence of this anti-white spirit that's happening in the country. It's the craziest thing. And I wish I could tell you when this all originated, but I think it's always been there under the surface. And it's just, you know, over the past decade or so, it started to creep up with a great ferocity. And so You've got these lawmakers that are out there, and this is a state representative. She's a Democrat. Her name is Sarah Stalker, which is kind of unfortunate, and she is very upset. She is a white woman, and this is important for you to understand. She is a white woman, and here's what she has to say about white people.
I'm going to be honest. I don't feel good about being white every day for a lot of reasons. Because it's a point of privilege that I get to move through the world in a way that so many of my other colleagues and friends and family members and of the community don't get the privilege to do. And I'm just a female, but just a woman, just a white woman. If if I was a white man, I would be functioning from a point of an even greater privilege. I think we're missing an opportunity when kids have a moment to reflect about how the color of their skin does and does not allow them to move through the world. Running to them and trying to stifle that and trying to say you shouldn't feel bad. So we don't want to ever expose you to something that is going to make you have to pause and have maybe some internal feelings. It's a missed opportunity for some really good dialogue.
All right. So she feels bad that she's a white woman. I would encourage her to go to a tanning salon, maybe put on some bronzer. Maybe she could self-identify. You know, a lot of people are doing that these days. But I really feel bad for people like this, first of all, because she's a clinical moron. And second of all, she's saying that God basically made a mistake. I mean, that's at the root of all of this critical race theory stuff. And that's really what it is. And they're coming up with new names for it, but it really is critical race theory. But at the core of critical race theory is just flat out racism. And that's what we're starting to see across the country, and most of this is being manifested on these school campuses. And this woman, though, being an elected leader, I mean, if she really is that, if she feels that badly about it, I think an argument could be made that maybe, just maybe, this woman was elected because she is a white woman. So I don't know, in the spirit of racial harmony, maybe she ought to just give up her seat and give it to a black person. But here's where I really fall off this wagon here. And Mike Davis pointing this out on X, he said these same woke white women have no problem trapping poor black kids in fatherless homes, crime-ridden neighborhoods, failed government school monopolies, and intergenerational poverty. And I truly believe, like Mike does, that these woke white women are some of the most destructive people in America right now. These people are monsters, just monsters. To that point, I want to share a story with you. Those of you that listen to a radio station that carry my morning commentaries, Todd Stern's News and Commentary, you've probably already heard this story. But imagine, if you will, I want you to just step back for just a moment and imagine if you're in an office listening on your earbuds, just lean back in your chair and imagine for just a moment a time in America where a school created a club exclusively for white people, Caucasians, crackers, or if you prefer, saltine Americans. Imagine this whites-only club where they serve ham sandwiches on white bread with mayonnaise, very little spice. We're drinking iced tea out of crystal glasses. We're listening to Engelbert Humperdinck on the radio. I'm trying to think of all the white stereotypes, Dylan. I'm having a hard time. There are so many.
I haven't heard of Hinkerdunk.
No, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Is that on your Spotify Wrapped?
It ought to be. It ought to be. But imagine this whites-only club. Oh, the national media, ladies and gentlemen, would generate wall-to-wall coverage of outrage. How dare they? Civil rights groups would file lawsuits and organize marches. Al Sharpton would be there. Jesse Jackson would be there. Rhyming all day long. Oh, there would be outrage, righteous outrage from coast to coast and border to border. And you know what? It would be well-deserved because a whites-only club would be racist. No doubt about that. But, what if a school created a blacks-only club? What about that? Well, that's what happened at Mount Nittany Middle School in Pennsylvania. The school started a black affinity club. A black affinity club. The club was actually organized by the school district's Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Liaison. What does that mean, belonging? What do you do for a living? Well, I belong. Libs of TikTok received emails from school officials confirming the existence of the club and also evidence that white students were literally banned from participating. The school leader went on to say the club was meant to be a safe space for the black student population at the middle school. But in reality, it is a segregated space. And Mount Nittany Middle School is at the very least discriminating against white students. And just think about this for a moment. There has been zero national media coverage about this. There have been zero lawsuits filed, no marches in the streets, no righteous outrage, not even righteous indignation. Harumph, 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 harumph. No, none of that. Nobody's saying anything about it. But this is what's happening in our public schools across the nation, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know about you, but life was so much simpler when schools just had an audiovisual club. I'm just saying. Let's go to Charlie in Cleveland, Georgia. Charlie, what is going on? What is on your mind today?
This is the second time calling. I'm with you 100%, everything you said. I can't add anything that you said, but you're right on. And I appreciate the station very much. I listen often. But I want to say, this is just my opinion. I'm not pushing it on you, and I'm not a Bible thumper. But if you talk about immigration and the people coming in the country and the way we're headed, there's a place over there that says, why come in here without your wedding garment on? And that's what we've done. We've taken off the wedding garment. I'm talking about our representatives. It's the love for righteousness. And to me, that's where we're missing the whole thing. We don't know what's right and wrong anymore. But we're more political than we are about righteousness, and we need to get back to righteousness. But does people know what's right and wrong anymore? And that's just my question. But they're coming in here without a wedding garment on. And that's the love for righteousness. And that's all I want to say.
Charlie, I'm just curious. You said you didn't want to, you know, come across as a Bible, you know, a Bible thumper. Why did you say that?
Well, I think sometimes that we take the Bible and we get real pushy with it. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm just, we've got to look at what's right and wrong. And the basis of that is righteousness. But we don't know what that is. I don't know how we can correct anything.
Charlie, I would contend that that's the reason why we're in the place we're in right now, is that we need more Bible thumping, and we need people to stand up and call right, right, and wrong, wrong. And I think that one of the big problems we've had in this country is that Christians have been, and this has taken a long time. It's not something that just happened overnight, Charlie, but I think Christians have been conditioned over the years to just slowly back up into the church, out of the public marketplace, and keep their religion inside the walls of the church. I mean, that's really been the quest of a lot of the leftist and a lot of the anti-religion groups, but it's also been coming out of many American seminaries where you've got a generation of young pastors that have been taught to stay away from the controversial issues in the pulpit, don't talk about those kinds of things, don't get involved in those kinds of things. And I remember a day, Charlie, when I was a kid, where the pastors, if there was a controversial issue, the pastor was talking about it from the pulpit, and then he'd be at the school board meeting or the town hall meeting later that week with a good many of the deacons in tow.
You're exactly right, and that goes along with what I'm trying to say. That's exactly right. As our pastors become afraid to speak, like you spoke today about the issues, are they afraid to say something?
There's no way they would. They would be terrified of that. And I'm just telling you, I haven't heard a sermon like that in ages.
That's my point. It's about righteousness. If we don't have that on us, and a lot of our representatives, I think they've taken off the robe like a judge would take off his robe. They've taken it off, and it becomes selfish and not for the people. And that's just my simple explanation.
It's a brilliant explanation, Charlie, because of its simplicity. I mean, we've got to get back to the roots of who we are. All of us, you know, we are sinners, Christians. We are sinners saved by God's grace. That's it in a nutshell. And if you're looking to change the direction of this country, then we're going to have to change the direction of people's hearts and minds. And the only way to do that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only way to do that is actually effective. Charlie, I got to run. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for being a great patriot. Let's go to Anna in Dahlonega, Georgia. Hi, Anna. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I've been listening to you. I listen to you every day. I just wanted to, you know, tell you I agree with you about this indoctrination of the soul. And I'm just so disappointed with what we decide as a people is important. We really need to rethink our strategies here because we got a lot to lose. It's a heartbreak to see my president trying to do the right thing by his people, and yet we have such obscene things going on in the House and in the Senate. And it has got to stop. Like you said, their hearts need to be turned around, but that's something, and their souls. I don't know what happened to us. What has happened to us is my question. I see families, having problems discussing this, no critical thinking. There's nothing that is positive. And I'm hoping that in the midterms, people start rethinking what's important.
Anna, I'm with you. Is your blinker on, Anna? I can hear it. It's.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I'm sorry.
I don't want you to get a ticket, Anna. Look, this is it's a great question you're asking, and I think we have to. I've been analyzing this. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, Anna. And ultimately, I don't think the Republican Party ever really changed at its core. Right. I think we certainly have started electing some America First lawmakers that get President Trump's agenda. But when you look at our leadership over the years, I mean, John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, and Kevin McCarthy. And I would almost be willing to say that McCarthy actually did a better job. At least he was a leader and could have those tough conversations. I just don't think Mike Johnson can do it. But regardless, he's the speaker now, so he's got to suck it up and deliver on the president's agenda. And Anna, if we don't fix this, it's just heartbreaking for me because I know what a Democrat majority will do to our president, and I don't want to see our president have to go through that again.
Well, you know, too, Todd, when he came down that escalator, prior to that escalator ride down of hope to me, he was given money to the Republicans and to the Democrats as they could run their time to run for office. And as soon as he came down there, they knew that was over.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, it's a new day, and they're going to get it one way or the other. And I hate to do this, but we are up against a hard break here. But thank you for calling in, and hang tight. You're a great patriot. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, folks, hang tight. Is there really a Santa Claus? We're going to answer that question coming up a little bit later in the show. We're going to be taking your calls as well. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, people. Good to have you with us today. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. If you want to call in, that's 901-260-5926. So, wow, I want to talk about Erica Kirk for just a moment. She was on Fox News yesterday, and I'm curious if any of you saw the interviews that Erica Kirk did, your thoughts, your reactions. And some people are actually saying that Erica may be in line for a possible Fox News gig. You know, she was, what, on The Five? I know the Harris-Faulkner interview really made a lot of news. And there's no doubt there's been a lot of ugliness in the aftermath of Charlie's assassination. And, I mean, that was to be expected. Many liberals, many leftists, they're celebrating Charlie's death. They mocked young conservatives who have been mourning the loss of their idol, and that has been despicable, and it's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. As a matter of fact, one neighborhood, some idiot, some leftist loon, actually mailed all of the conservatives in the neighborhood a powdery substance along with a reference to Charlie being shot in the neck. They called the cops, and the cops said, "Are you ready for this? There's nothing illegal about what that guy did. Nothing illegal." However, if a conservative were to find out who this person was and go to that guy's house and help rearrange his nasal cavity, that would be a crime. That would be against the law. But apparently it's not illegal to terrorize conservatives. And as crazy as these attacks have been, you know, a lot of people have been very surprised about really, the vilest of the attacks are actually coming from within the conservative movement. I mean, it's been ugly stuff, really, really nasty. And, of course, Candace Owens has been, you know, primarily the one talking about all this. Erica addressed all of this on Fox News last night, and I thought it was interesting that she did not mention Candace Owens by name. And I don't understand why, because, well, let's just play what she had to say first. Cut 7.
Talk to me about this part of the conspiracies that are out there, this disturbing part that people are trying to guess where Charlie is.
Can I have one thing? Can I have one thing? Can my children have one thing? Everything was public. We will be building the most beautiful memorial for my husband at Turning Point USA, and it will be for the world to see, and it will be spectacular, and it will have basically museum style for our Charlie, for my Charlie. But can I have one thing? Can my babies have one thing where we hold it sacred, where my husband is laid to rest, where I don't have to be worried about some secular revolutionary coming and destroying my husband's grave while my daughter is sitting there praying? One thing. This is my husband. Yes, he was Charlie Kirk to the world, and I know so many people love my husband, and I am grateful for that, but this is my husband, and I want to be able to have one thing left that is sacred to our family, to my in-laws, to my babies, and to my parents. One thing.
What are they taking from you right now?
Nothing. But I will tell you what they are doing. It reminds me so much of chapter 6 in the book of Nehemiah. He is building a wall, and the townspeople are at the base of that hill saying, Nehemiah, calling him all these names, saying all these things, come on down. Every single time he had the same message 4 times in a row, I cannot come down, I am busy building. That is how I feel. I do not have time to address the noise. My silence does not mean that I am complacent. Mm-hmm. My silence does not mean that somehow Turning Point USA and all of the handpicked staff that loved my husband and my husband loved them is somehow in on it. We are busy building. And you know what I thought? I thought these people are human. We are all grieving in our own way. And they are trying to find the answer to something that happened that was so evil. They are trying so hard. And I get that. We're doing the same. Anytime we hear a lead or anytime we hear anything, we send it to the authorities. Please dig into this. No rock will be unturned. I want justice for my husband, for myself, for my family, more than anyone else out there. So for me, you want to keep telling me to come down while we're building? I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. But here's my breaking point on that. Come after me. Call me names. I don't care. Call me what you want. Go down that rabbit hole. Whatever. But when you go after my family, my Turning Point USA family, my Charlie Kirk Show family, when you go after the people that I love, and you're making hundreds and thousands of dollars every single episode going after the people that I love because somehow they're in on this. No.
All right. That was Erica Kirk yesterday on Fox News. So Candace Owens, and again, Candace has been the chief critic of Turning Point USA, and she's been, she says she has lots of sources from lots of different places, and clearly people from inside the organization have been feeding her information. That's no secret. But she's been accusing everybody of being involved in this. What, Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu personally, the U.S. military, the French, even Charlie's executive leadership team at Turning Point USA. I mean, she's blaming a lot of people for this, or at least insinuating. What is it? She and Tucker do this a lot. We're just asking questions. We're just asking questions. That's all we're doing now. We're just asking questions. So Candace last night responded to Erica Kirk, who I thought delivered a very passionate and a very heartfelt response to all of this. And I just can't imagine. She's got two young children. She's got beyond the weight of the world on her shoulders right now. And by the way, can I just ask a question? Where are, I'm just wondering, and again, it's just a lot for a widow to have to take on. I would like to see Charlie's mom and dad and her parents standing out, you know, going out there together as like a force, a unit, to take on all of this. Anyway, here's Candace, and she was giddy and smiling. It was just really weird and off-putting. Cut number 8.
Okay, super fun show today. You're probably seeing the clips, but Erica has gone off on conspiracy theorists. Obviously, every journalist out there is emailing me because it's about me. It's indirect, but it's also about me. And don't worry, in case you think it's not about me, she is going to name check me on stage with Barry Weiss on Saturday. How do we know? Because our mommy sleuths be everywhere. And they recorded the town hall today. And as soon as the town hall concluded, we got a flutter of emails. And what she says about the Egyptian planes, I'm sorry, not going to lie, it's a little suspicious. It's weird. It's a weird response. So look, we got to go there.
And that's where she's going. So now Candace Owens is going to declare war on Erica Kirk. Cut number 9, please.
And that, the thing that is especially absurd about that is trying to, like, almost like, I want to be clear that Turning Point USA is my family. The Charlie Kirk Show is my family. You know, like she's just expanding the wings of people that we're not allowed to critique because they're in the family. If you call them fam, you can't critique them, right? Oh, I'm sorry. We actually are showing a clip of Rob McCoy defending a pedophile or trying to, like, launder the reputation of that's fam. That's the CK Show fam. Oh, I'm sorry. We are actually pointing to the fact that we know for certain that this person in your organization is a sexual deviant. That's fam. That is my. Don't you get me upset. I know that this is a now $150 million in the last 3 month organization. And we employ tons of people, but you can't critique. You can't critique the fam. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to be very clear here. This is why there are many people who do not believe that women are equipped to lead companies, because what you are watching here is an unbelievably emotional response that is absent of any logic. Okay. If you really care about your team, answer the questions. Okay. Just demystify the entire event. Answer, come out, sit down, answer the questions so people don't think Turning Point USA looks so suspicious. Don't try to, like, mom the organization and say, well, mother's upset because people are coming after her kids and all of the multi-million-dollar subsidiaries. That's my children, okay? The multi-million-dollar subsidiaries, Turning Point, like Turning Point Action, all that, those are my kids, so you can't critique them. Not a good idea. Okay, it may work in PR world. You guys, I know how it's an obvious PR campaign. It's never been more obvious of a psychological operation. I actually wish they would put me on payroll so I could help them make these things look more organic than having every single person that has been telling us to stop asking questions all make the exact same video within 4 seconds of each other being like, whoa, Erica Kirk shuts down. No, she didn't even respond to one of the conspiracies. She gave us emotion. She gave us emotion. She said, I'm a mother. I am a wife. And we never asked about whether she was mother or wife. We want to know if she is a CEO and a chairman. And a CEO and a chairman has to compartmentalize. A CEO and a chairman cannot respond to valid questions and critiques about finances, about shady actions that are being taken by people that require presidential pardons, people that are meaningfully asking why we are not getting a clear answer of what took place on September 10th. A CEO, okay, does not get to respond and say, that's my family.
Yeah, there you go. There are a couple of things here, and I'm curious what you would like to tell these two ladies. What would you like to tell Erica Kirk? What would you like to tell Candace Owens here? Now, the issue we now have is that once Fox News Channel brought Erica Kirk onto their shows, this became a legitimate national news story at this point. This is no longer a social media back and forth. This is now a big national news story. And I will say that Candace is right that Erica Kirk did not address the allegations and the accusations that have been out there. And it bothers me that there are some in Turning Point that are saying, how dare you ask questions? Now, I'm going to tell you something that Dylan, I got in trouble for this. I got the messages about this. I asked a very innocent question. I mean, very innocent question. You ready for my question? This is my innocent question.
I'm ready.
We saw the memorial service, right? The very somber memorial service with the pyrotechnics and we saw that, right? And it was very moving. I just asked, so where was the funeral and when was he buried? Just a very simple. What are you saying? What are you alleging? And I'm like, whoa, I'm not alleging anything. What? What's going on here? I mean, that seems to me to be a pretty legitimate question from a journalist. So when was the funeral? I mean, we saw the memorial service, but it was like, how dare you? Who do you think you are, Todd Stearns, to be asking a question like that? And the only reason I asked is because they released this video. Dylan, did you see the video of Charlie in the coffin with the widow, with Mrs. Kirk giving the,
you know. Yeah, I saw that video. Yeah.
Okay.
We don't even have to say it because you just know.
You just know. So, okay. So you're not allowed to ask any questions. You are saying that we need to move on and we need to talk about other things, and yet you are raising money off of, and I'm talking when I say you, Turning Point USA, raising money off Charlie's assassination. And it seems as though every time we talk about, the one thing we're not talking about here are the young people that were inspired to start, to launch, to join Turning Point USA chapters, and everybody's confused. When you go on social media, I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of kids that they're trying to figure out, okay, who's telling the truth here? So I just want to throw this out. Why hasn't anybody filed a lawsuit against Candace Owens? If everything she's saying is a lie, if everything she's saying is not true, or even if she's simply mistaken, why hasn't somebody filed a lawsuit? And it seems to me that at this point, and I'm speaking as Todd Stearns here, and maybe you feel very differently. If it was me, I would be already in court. And it would have been the first accusation that dropped. I would have been in court. And that hasn't happened. And I appreciate what, you know, Erica is saying about going after her family. They've been going after you, Erica, and you have to protect yourself. So what's going on here? That's what I'm trying to get. What exactly is going on here? Because I don't think we're getting the full story from anybody. And it's not fair to the kids that are out there wanting to be the next generation Charlie Kirks. So if there's, and I've seen all the reports, if there's grift, if there's corruption, if people were stealing, if there were inappropriate things going on, all of that needs to be brought out, and you need to talk about those things. But it just seems to me the place to do it is not on the curvy couch at Fox News, and it's not on a podcast platform. It is in a court of law. Let's just get to the bottom of it, cut out the crap, so we can get on with the business at hand. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, there was a lot of commotion in the news bunker during the break. Dylan, we received a package from Franklin Graham. And it's always, you never know what's good. We're always thankful when the packages are not ticking when they arrive here at the broadcast bunker.
Yes, we always like to test those. Shake, a good shake never hurts anybody.
A good shake never hurts anything. Anyway, it turned out to be Franklin's. Franklin sent us a lovely, Franklin and his wife, the lovely Miss Jane, Franklin Graham and Jane Graham, sent us a giant box of Instrum Almond Toffee Petites.
Yes, and I've never had these.
Really?
Yes.
So you've already had one? You've sampled?
I did, yes, and it's very good.
They're pretty darn tasty. And we really appreciate Franklin. It was very kind, and we love promoting all of their events and covering, you know, whatever they do. I want to point out, though, this is funny. Normally, these things are addressed to me. And according to the box, it's all typed out very nicely, Mr. Todd Stearns. And then in parentheses, somebody wrote, share with Dylan.
Just so we're clear.
That's brilliant.
You can't eat all of these. You have to share with Dylan.
Who did that? The staff.
I hope it was Franklin.
The staff has already started to devour. So I'm gonna have to put one aside.
They're almost gone.
Yeah. So well, thank you very much. And we've been getting a lot of cards from listeners and friends. So thank you so much. And we actually display all those on the Christmas. We have a giant Christmas tree downstairs. Our little news bunker looks like the North Pole. So it's pretty epic. Hey, by the way, visit toddstearns.com, and if you are a new listener, we want you to download our free podcast. Also, you can get our free newsletter, and we send that out about two or three times a week with some of the big news stories that we work on and our clever little take on those stories. All right, hang tight. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. So, Democrats are freaking out about the economy. And I love this. First of all, CNBC, they're like nuking the Dems right now for lying about President Trump's economy. Cut number 10, please.
But the affordability issue is from the 22% increase in prices and inflation under Biden. There's just full stop right there. That's the affordability issue. And you ought to be able to explain that better.
Right. That's right. And look, I think that with the economic team, President Trump and the economic team led by Scott Bessent, you have people who very much understand this. And it was they were thrown, you know, what I would say, the worst economy for the average American in my adult lifetime in terms of the, like you said, the incredible increase in prices at the household.
Yeah, so I mean they're right about that. And again, it is going to take some time, but the trajectory here is that this is all going to happen over the course of the new year. So we're going to see just the economy explode in a very positive way. Meanwhile, the Democrats are absolutely panicked right now about this because they know. And here's the thing. Yeah, they've got the momentum right now, But the reason why they have momentum is that, first of all, Republicans, they're just checked out. They're doing lots of other things. They're not paying attention to politics. We know that because they haven't been going to the ballot box in these special elections. Lots of other things happening. And to be honest, there are a lot of people that are in the doldrums right now. But that's going to change if the economy does what Donald Trump believes it's going to do. But the Democrats, they're panicked. Cut 11.
On tips and overtime, there's a max reduction for tips. It's $25,000. So imagine if you are somebody who uses tips as part of your salary or to make your living, that will have an impact. The senior deduction, you have to be 65 years old. It phases out at $75,000. But again, for people who are saying gas prices, which are lower, but that food prices are higher, that it's hard for them, that might help as well. There's a no tax on car loan interest. Now, that can be helpful, but what might be even more helpful is what they announced last week, which is they're doing away with some of the EPA rules on these car and fuel mileage. That actually will help bring the cost of cars down probably even more. And then a child tax credit expansion. That's very bipartisan. A lot of people like this.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. They're panicked. And it is not going to be good for the Democrats if the and that's why they're throwing everything at the president right now. Everything. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. May I tell you about Newsmax? Man, it has been a lot of fun doing the 5 o'clock show on Newsmax 2. We've had so many people reach out and say how much they've enjoyed it. They say it sort of reminds them of a fusion between Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity's old show. And so and that's a great honor. Millions of people are turning to Newsmax. They're watching Newsmax on cable, of course, the streaming channel Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says Newsmax is now one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night you get to watch great shows featuring Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It literally takes just seconds to start. And also let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. It really is real news for real people. All right, I've got to play this audio. You know, Dylan, it's a violent nation out there, right?
Yes.
And it's not just, I mean, it's like everywhere, not just Memphis. It's just like everywhere. You've got the bad guys and they're on the streets. You got the predators. And if you don't know how to take care of yourself, and you got to do that. You know, if you're a guy, especially, you need to know how to take care of yourself. So a lot of people are taking what the self-defense classes.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done this yet.
Well, that's where you learn how to, you know, you learn what to do and I don't know how to, you know, jerk somebody's Adam's apple out of their throat without breaking a nail, those kinds of things.
Right. Yes.
So anyway, this guy decided that he was going to attend a queer self-defense class. And I guess the queer community is very concerned about their own physical safety. And apparently, according to this, trans people fight for free there. So if you're transgender, you don't have to pay like a fee to go through the self-defense class. That's a pretty good bargain. And here's what happened when this guy showed up to attend a queer self-defense class.
Hey, I have a question. The front doors are locked here.
Yeah, what do you need?
I'm trying to get to the queer self-defense class.
Okay, around the corner.
So the south build side of the building, is that?
Yeah.
Okay, and it said on the flyer, trans folks fight for free.
That, yeah, you're trans?
I'm trans indigenous.
What?
I'm trans indigenous. My parents, bigoted doctor, assigned me white skin at birth, but I identify as a brown skin native.
Dude, get out of here.
Well, are you trans native phobic?
No.
Well, then what's the problem?
Do you know how confusing this is to people and how you're making a mockery out of natives?
Well, that's ironic, don't you think?
No, we are protecting people here with self-defense.
And that's, I want to participate.
No.
I'm a native. Trans natives are natives, and this is our land.
Dude, I'm calling the cops.
Don't misindigenate me. I am not a dude.
Get out of
don't,
here.
Why are you being trans native phobic right now?
Please leave.
No. This is my land, and you're trespassing. You're cis American, so how about you leave?
I need you to leave the property now.
No. What are you going to do?
I'm calling the police.
You're going to call the police on me because I'm a trans native man of color?
You're mocking people.
That's a hate crime.
No, what you're doing is a hate crime.
Call the police then. It's really sad you're being transnatophobic right now.
Dude, I'm...
Folks, this individual is being transnatophobic. I'm trying to get into a queer self-defense class, and this is how they treat trans people of color. Really sad. I hope you should be proud of yourself for being transnatophobic.
You should be ashamed of what you're doing.
Really sad. Trans natives are natives.
You need to leave.
Trans natives are natives. What did he say there, Dylan? Don't misindigenate me.
This is brilliant.
Who do you people think you are? You know, she sounded very rude, like right out of the gate.
Yeah, she almost wasn't going to let him in at all, it sounded like.
And I'm just assuming that, you know, she's a she, but, you know.
Yeah. It sounded like he needed a password.
Maybe. You know, it's sort of like those speakeasies.
Yeah.
You know, where you go into the, you know, well, they had one in Brooklyn. Oh, what was the name of that place? It was a hot dog joint. And it was a very good hot dog joint, but they had like a phone booth. And when you walk in, this is in the Lower East Side. What was the name of that place? It was it had a very suggestive name. And the logo was a woman mounting a hot dog. That was the actual logo of the restaurant.
It doesn't give it away at all.
But it was a great hot dog joint.
I'm sure.
So anyway, they have a little phone booth there. And if you pick up the phone, and it had like an old school phone, like, you know, from the 1930s, from the Waltons. You don't know that show, but the Waltons, where you had like the little earpiece and you had to hold it up to your ear like this and speak into the phone. You had to utter the password. And if you utter the password, the thing opens up and you're in a private speakeasy.
I think that's one of the coolest things that still goes on today.
Do they do those other places?
Oh yes. Oh yeah. When I went to Birmingham and I went to a few, they have a couple there. And it's really fun, and you have to, like, find out the password online or ask around the city. It's weird, but it's, like, a really fun place to go to.
What was the name? That's going to drive me crazy now. And, it's called Criff Dogs. Mm. That was the name of it. Deep fried, and they were known for their deep-fried bacon-wrapped hot dog.
Wow. I would go there just for the hot dog.
Mm-hmm. But I never did know the password. I wasn't cool enough to get into the speakeasy. Oh, it's called Please Don't Tell. It's here we go. The speakeasy bar located in a hidden space alongside the hot dog shop, Criff Dogs. Inside the shop was a wooden phone booth that patrons could use. I thought I remembered it correctly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what were we talking about?
Trans.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, that has no connection to that.
Not at all.
I was on a tangent again. My bad. All right, look, we've got to take a break. It is too early in the week for me to have a breakdown like this. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm curious about Christmas shopping. You know, every year they have the trends, and I'm curious about Christmas trends as far as gifts. So what are the hot Christmas gifts of 2025? You know, a lot of folks are trying to figure all of that out because they want to get a cool gift for somebody. I'm just a cash guy. But here's one, and Dylan, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. According to Good Housekeeping, they track these things. They say the top favorite gift for people is called a My Mug ice cream maker.
Okay.
So it's like you get one of those big, super-sized coffee mugs, you know?
Yeah.
And they have this little device, this contraption that goes on top of the mug, and it makes ice cream.
Wow.
Like in your coffee mug.
That's pretty cool. I haven't heard of a lot of people wanting an ice cream maker, though.
It makes ice cream, sorbet, wine slushies, and it does it in just 20 minutes.
That's really impressive. How much does this thing cost?
We don't have a price point here. We'll have to look. Yeah. This is not like out of Neiman Marcus, so you should be able to afford it.
$60,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's something that Dieter would like. The Metacube Salmon DNA Pink Collagen Jelly Mask.
Yeah.
It's Korean.
That's so specific.
Apparently, it gives you a ladies, it's a face mask, and it's you get the instant glass skin effect. So there you go. It's
people want that?
They've been it's been popping off on Hailey Bieber. That's Mrs. Yeah. Bieber. She's like raving about this. So I think this is one of the reasons why. Okay, this is weird. The Apple AirPods Pro 3 is the number 3 on the hot Christmas list.
Is this the one that the case is like a touch screen and you can swipe right and left on the AirPod case itself?
No, I don't think it says this has increased battery life, higher quality sound. It looks like the regular AirPods.
Yeah.
But it's Pro 3 and you get 8 hours of listening time, and the new design has improved water and sweat resistance.
Oh, good.
Okay. There you go. Oh, here's one. I think the entire office will want this. The comfy oversized blanket hoodie.
Yeah, we have a lot of ladies in our office, so, and they do sit here in the chairs in the blankets. So that's a fact.
Mm.
So they would love that, probably.
The oversized hoodie keeps them warm and toasty, whether they're working from home or binging TV. I recently got one. Can't get over the soft, fluffy Sherpa. I don't think I've ever heard those words used together in a sentence before. Anyway, there's also a huge pocket, so you can use it for snacks or your phone. There you go. Oh, let's see. Scrolling. Oh, Bedshore electric blanket. That's kind of... Oh, here we go. The Cuisinart Compact Bread Maker. I've been hearing from a lot of people that have actually tried... They're doing their own things, like making their own bread, making their own jams, and a lot of people are getting freaked out by... And it's in the MAHA movement. I mean, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is really exposing how dangerous a lot of the food is that we're buying in our supermarket. So a lot of people just want to make it from scratch.
That's very trendy. I've seen on TikTok, at least, people trying to make their own bread, and then they either overcook it or undercook it. And then they also get scared that it's like moving because of the yeast, but they're learning. It looks pretty good though.
So here's something. It's called the next gen smartphone. You can make paper airplanes out of it. 50.
You throw the iPhone?
Yeah, you do. Oh. $59.99. It turns any sheet of paper into a smartphone-controlled airplane that travels up to 20 miles an hour.
Wow.
Performs tricks like barrels and loops. And it's already got over 1,000 five-star reviewers. Really? This is really interesting. You get a 30-minute charge for 10 minutes of flight time. And there's a 2-year warranty.
That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, apparently all of these gifts are for women, so my apologies.
Oh.
So, whoops, sorry about that, Dieter.
The paper airplanes for women?
It says, who's this for? Oh, wait a second, I'm sorry, that's the Lululemon bag. My apologies. Who's this for? It's for kids and teens.
Oh. Put me in that category.
Sorry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there's a Buddha board. I don't know about that. Creative for kids? What is a Buddha board? I've never heard of such a thing.
Buddha board.
Mm-hmm. It's a mess-free board, fun for all ages. So it's basically a whiteboard, just steal Karl Rove's. Oh, a custom neon sign. I'd love this. We need one of those for the studio.
It's true, yeah.
3,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. The neon sign can be customized. All right, and the sign comes available in 12 colors and 30 fonts. I love that. All right, there you go. Some of the hot Christmas items. I haven't heard of any of these. Let's go to Dwayne in Gainesville, Georgia. Dwayne, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, first-time caller. You're kind of chiming in on the Charlie Kirk fiasco. Our local Walmart here has an employee that has written on the back of their pickup truck, Charlie Kirk, Si Lo Mercio. That means basically he deserved it. I complained to Walmart locally and at the corporate headquarters and spoke with some people I know that said they did the same. And instead of any kind of reprimand, I go back today, and this person's truck is actually parked pretty prevalently near the gas pumps. And they've added Charlie Kirk was a racist in addition to the Si Lo Mercio. So I was just disappointed in Walmart for allowing this to continue. I'm offended.
You know, I mean, it's pretty disgusting, and people are, you know, that I mean, they're idiots. The problem I have here now is, what do we do with that? I mean, if, you know, if a person writes that on their truck or has, you know, a defensive message on their truck, should they lose their jobs over that? Does Walmart have a right to go and tell that employee, hey, you can't have that on your truck? For me, I would say, you know what? That's their right. They've got a right to be a jerk. They've got to be a right to be, you know, insensitive. And of course, you've got your rights as well, Dwayne. But I'm just curious. What do you think? What do you think Walmart should do something here?
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly on the freedom of speech. I don't like that it's so prevalent where consumers can see it and have to see it while they're standing there filling up their gas tank. It's a little difficult to look away. So that's my thought on that. Plus, you know, in certain businesses, if you post certain things or you like certain things on social media or make certain opinions, you know, they will reprimand that employee.
Oh, sure. So, yeah, no, I hear you on that. Now, when it comes to school teachers, and if I'm paying your salary, yeah, I think we have a right to litigate that, and we have a right to oversee that. When it comes to Walmart, you know, if Walmart's got rules and regulations, well, you know, if you're an employee, you got to follow those. But a lot of sick people out there in the world, Dwayne, no doubt about that. Thank you for calling. Gotta run. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is hour three of the big show. Good to have you with us today, wherever you might be. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. Coming up, I have been really looking forward to this conversation. William Federer is a best-selling author and historian and speaker, and he's got a new book out called There Really Is a Santa Claus. It's the history of St. Nicholas and other Christmas holiday traditions. And so coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to William. It's going to be a great, great conversation. And looking forward to that. Tomorrow, we'll be talking with Karen Kingsbury, who is a New York Times bestselling author, and her movies are really, a lot of her books are being turned into movies now, and she has a brand new movie out based on a book called The Christmas Ring, and we're going to talk to our good friend Karen Kingsbury, so that's going to be a lot of fun as well. By the way, if you want to weigh in today on any of the conversations, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So a few moments ago, there was a big hearing up on Capitol Hill, and Mississippi's Democrat congressman, a guy by the name of Benny Thompson, this guy's a piece of work. He was interrogating Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security. And Benny Thompson went on to call the attacks on the National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C., a, quote, unfortunate accident. That's what he's, unfortunate accident. No, sir, Congressman Thompson. That was a terrorist attack committed by a Muslim who waged jihad on American soil. That's what happened in Washington, D.C. And I'm not surprised that these Democrats are going out there and trying to marginalize these awful things that have been happening. Unbelievable. Also, we're following the Affordable Care Act. The Republican vote has failed. Now they'll take a look at what the Democrats want to offer, and we'll get back to you on that once that happens. By the way, Huntington Beach, the city council in Huntington Beach, California, now confirms that you do not need to provide any proof of citizenship to register to vote. Cut number 22, please.
When you go to the DMV and you get a driver's license or an ID, you register to vote. You do not need any citizenship to do that. When you get any benefits in the state of California, they send you a voter registration card. You do not need to show any ID or proof of citizenship to do that. Then you're on the voter rolls. Those voter rolls, they keep adding people on over and over and over again, and nobody's cross-referencing IDs on those voter rolls. So when you talk to Bob Page on a local level or any local registrar of voters, they're going to say, well, yeah, we've got a really great operation on site. We're just taking what Sacramento gives us in regards to the rules. We can't ask for ID on site, or we can't cross-reference ID. So the problem isn't ours anymore, right? It's that diffusion of responsibility. So the reality is Sacramento's got the problem in their hands, and they're avoiding it by pushing it around. So we need to, that's the manner in which we need to talk about this subject. It is 100% fact that you do not need to prove any citizenship to get voter registration in California.
Mm. And we're surprised by this. If you literally take out all of the illegals from, say, California. Let's just focus on California. They lose almost a dozen members of Congress. I mean, that's how massive the illegal immigration surge has been over the years. It's just insane. Meanwhile, in Louisiana, this has been really encouraging. We have seen a massive surge of federal law enforcement and federal agents, much like we saw in Memphis, now happening in New Orleans and now Baton Rouge. And the border commander, Greg Bovino, says it's unlike anything they've actually seen. Even residents, citizens in Louisiana are now helping the federal agents hunt down these illegals. Cut number five.
Says they've received unprecedented support here from those local law enforcement agencies and also local leaders, which, as you know, this is really night and day from what we've seen in blue cities. So Bovino says in the first week, they've arrested about 150 illegal migrants under Operation Catahoula Crunch, and more than 20 law enforcement agencies, like you mentioned, across the state, including Louisiana State Police, are working with Border Patrol and supporting their immigration enforcement efforts. We even saw community support. An illegal migrant bolted after a traffic stop, ditched this car, and ran into a neighborhood near a school, sparking a manhunt. Neighbors pitched in. They checked their backyards, even showed off some Southern hospitality, and offered agents gumbo. Chief Bovino says agents are able to focus on making arrests because of support from law enforcement.
You know, if you look at places like California, that's Governor Newsom, Chicago, that's Governor Pritzker, Mayor Johnson, and then in North Carolina, Governor Steen, they said some very vile and contemptible things about the Border Patrol, about ICE agents, and our allied law enforcement teams. And what that does is that empowers their weaker-minded constituents to perhaps take up violence against us when normally otherwise they wouldn't do that.
In a video shared by Vice President J.D. Vance on X, one construction company owner says he's seeing a difference ever since Border Patrol has been in Louisiana.
All right. So well done. All of our friends down in Cajun country, good for you. And I would expect nothing else. You know, the same thing is happening in Memphis, where the local citizens are getting involved now and they're lending a helping hand. And that's what it's about, right? I mean, we've got to, all of us have to go the extra mile to make sure that we root out all of these illegals. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday, Speaker Mike Johnson going out in front of the cameras talking about Obamacare. Are you ready for this, folks? Obamacare sent $94 million to insurance companies through dead people. It's unbelievable. Cut 13.
A new report by the Government Accountability Office, which I haven't seen too much written about yet. You should look into that. It is an eye-opener as well. It makes clear why it would be a dereliction of duty to just extend subsidies without massive reforms to them. Okay, over the last 2 years, this is investigators at the Government Accountability Office, okay? They submitted 24 fraudulent applications for the ACA subsidies, the Unaffordable Care Act subsidies, Obamacare, okay? Of the 24 fraudulent applications that they created intentionally to just see what would happen, 23 of them were approved. These applications were completely fraudulent. The investigators did not submit any Social Security numbers, citizenship documentation, or reported income documents. And 23 of the 24 applications were still approved. 18 of those, by the way, are still receiving coverages. They were as of September of this year. That means the Obamacare exchange and insurers didn't verify any of the information they're supposed to under the law, and they proceeded to pay tens of thousands of dollars to insurance companies for people who do not exist. Okay? The GAO report also found that 29,000 Social Security numbers in 2023 and 68,000 in 2024 were used to receive more than 1 year's worth of insurance coverage. In other words, multiple people were utilizing the same Social Security numbers to openly defraud the American taxpayers. The GAO also found that more than $94 million was sent to insurers on behalf of dead people. Okay? This is the system that Democrats in Congress want to extend without reform. It's unbelievable.
Well, it is unbelievable, and that's, again, why we've got to get a handle on this fraud. Some of the other numbers I've seen related to Obamacare, it's just, it's insulting that so much of our hard-earned tax money was just going to the fraudsters out there, and nobody cared. They never in a million years would have thought that a president would have been elected that actually does care about how our money is being squandered. So every single day, I just say, God, thank you so much for sending President Donald J. Trump. I mean, we are truly blessed to have him as our president. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, wow. This is pretty big. Caroline Leavitt is holding court there in the White House press briefing room. And just a few moments ago, she dropped the microphone on CNN's Caitlin Collins. That's the one with the big eyebrows. We call her eyebrows. Anyway, there, Caitlin Collins accusing Caroline Leavitt of basically lying, of not telling the truth. And Leavitt says, well, wait a second. My predecessor, that would be KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre. She said inflation doesn't exist. She said the border was secure. And people like you just took her at her word, and those were two utter lies. Caroline goes on to say, everything I'm telling you is the truth backed up by real factual data. And you, Caroline, or Caitlin Collins, Caitlin Collins, just don't want to report on it because you want to push untrue narratives about the president. Nobody reported on inflation being high under Biden. It's true. Oh, and then she says, and I'm not going to take your follow-up. Sit down, you clown, and go pluck your eyebrows. Well, she didn't say that other part, but she should have. So good for you, Caroline Leavitt. No need to take all that guff. No need to at all. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio? Our good friend Jasmine Crockett back at it again, ladies and gentlemen. Chuck it! Chuck it and jiving! Ow! Good God! Yeah, Jasmine Crockett, you know, she's running for Senate in Texas. I'm curious, all of our Texas listeners are you folks excited? Are you giddy with glee about Jasmine Crockett running for? This is like the best political news I have heard all year. I think this is wonderful news. Anyway, Jasmine has a thought about fraud. Cut number 14.
And I do want to make sure that I cover one other thing that the chairman spoke about. He specifically said that he's concerned about the fraud. He's not giving us numbers, but I can give you some numbers. If we're concerned about how much money it may be costing us because systems are not perfect, we have no perfect systems. We have always had some level of fraud in anything that we have because there's no such thing as perfection walking on this earth.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, sure, there's fraud, but, you know, there's fraud everywhere. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? In Seattle, they're getting ready to introduce their brand new socialist mayor. Her name is Katie Wilson. And Katie Wilson is really upset with all you homeowners out there. So if you are out there and you own, say, a three-bedroom ranch-style home, you've got a lovely front yard, you've got a backyard, maybe there's a grill. Some of you might have a swimming pool. By the way, I heard that's one of the worst things you could possibly ever do for the value of your home is to put in a swimming pool. And they're a pain in the butt. You got to clean it. You got to look over it all. I don't judge, but I'm just saying. Anyway, Katie Wilson says you should not be able to do that. You should not be able to own your own home. Instead, you should live in an apartment. Now, I want you to listen to Katie Wilson, Cut 16.
I believe we can have affordable and abundant housing, and that we don't have to have thousands of our neighbors sleeping unsheltered every night. I believe that you shouldn't need a six-figure income to feel at home in Seattle. I believe that the people who work in our hotels, in our coffee shops, should also be able to afford to live in this city and to raise a family here. I believe you should be able to raise a family in an apartment, as I am. And that the city should be your living room and the park should be your backyard.
And look, I mean, that sounds like just a wonderful socialist utopia. But here's the problem. What happens if somebody's taking a dump in your living room? I mean, what do you do at that point? What happens if somebody leaves their dirty used needles in your backyard? Because that's the reality of Seattle, Washington, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon me, I did not mean to offend your sensibilities. I should have said poo instead of dump, but, you know, it's late in the show. Bear with me. So anyway, that's her utopia, is to get everybody living in these big high-rises, kind of like what they do in North Korea and what they do in Russia, where you've got just hundreds, if not thousands of people in China, and they all live in these giant apartment buildings. And it doesn't matter if you've got a lot of money or no money at all. Everybody's got their own apartment. Everything looks the same kind of furniture. Everything is equal over there. That's what Katie Wilson is wanting for you people in Seattle. And I'm telling you, that is no way to live at all, period. This is insanity, what she's doing over there. But look, the people of Seattle, they voted for this. So they're going to have to, the folks from Seattle, you're about to have your city destroyed, and hopefully you'll come to your senses and eventually elect Republicans. Same thing's happening in New York City, by the way. Zohran Mamdani, you know, we haven't talked about Zohran lately, but he is turning out to be as bad as we all thought and even worse. Now saying that he is not going to allow NYPD to work at all with the federal agents or with ICE. The mayor-elect also named an ex-convict, a rapper, to his criminal justice committee. You can't make this up. Mison Lennon was sentenced to, 7 years? He was convicted of armed robberies of Bronx taxi drivers in 1997 and 1998. And Mamdani wants this guy to serve on his criminal justice committee. It's brilliant. Way to go, Zohran. Way to go, pal. But yeah, New York City is going to get bad, and it's going to get bad very, very quickly. I'm just telling you. And it's, you're going to notice it, and I'm not sure what's going to happen here to the city. Will President Trump come in and rescue New York City? I don't know. Or do we just have to let it burn? By the way, Zohran is now leaving his modest rent-stabilized apartment in Queens for Gracie Mansion. Unbelievable what's happening in New York City right now. I wonder, though, about the crime, how quickly that's going to get out of control. And let me say this about Zohran. I mean, if he really is a man of the people, right? I mean, that was the whole shtick, that he was just a working-class kind of a guy who has millions of dollars in the bank. If that, in fact, is true, then why is he moving to Gracie Mansion? Why is he not living in his rent-controlled apartment in Astoria, Queens, which is literally, it's just literally right across the river, the East River. It's a, I mean, it takes you, what, 15 minutes to get to the office. So why would he do that? Again, when it comes to socialism, they take our money, ladies and gentlemen. They take our money. They live high on the hog while you don't. I mean, it's really that simple. All right, hang tight. We're going to be talking Santa Claus when we come back. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, a lot of the Christmas traditions that we have, a lot of folks don't realize they've been around for a very long time, and a lot of them are actually not just make-believe, but they're actually based on real people and real things that, that happened throughout our history. Welcome back to the show. We're so glad to have you with us today and hope you're enjoying a lovely, delicious glass of or maybe a cup of hot cocoa. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to a good friend who has written a tremendous book called There Really Is a Santa Claus, The History of St. Nicholas and Christmas Holiday Traditions. The man, the myth, the legend, Bill Federer joins us, and you hear him all the time with his American Minute. Bill, what an honor to have you with us. Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, Todd. Merry Christmas to you.
So I have so many questions, and we just have to jump right into this. We're not going to get to all of it during our conversation, but a lot of people have always wondered, is there really a Santa Claus? Of course, that led to a great story in a New York newspaper many years ago when the editor actually answered that question. But I want you to answer it. Is there really a Santa Claus?
Right. Well, St. Nicholas is the most popular Greek Orthodox saint. He is to Greeks what St. Peter is to Catholics. He's sort of like a founding father to the Greek Orthodox Church. That's why so many Greek people are named Nick or Nicholas. He was born in 280 AD. So this is during the Roman persecution of Christians. And a movement was sweeping through Christianity called Pietism or Monasticism, where if you really become a Christian, you should do what the rich young ruler did, give away your money to the poor, come and follow me. And so he decides he's going to give away his money, but he wants to do it in secret because he wants God to get the credit, not him. So he's in the town of Patara, Asia Minor, and he would sneak into and throw money in the window of poor people. Supposedly, it would land in a shoe or a stocking that's drying by the fireplace. And one story became famous. A merchant was bankrupt, and the creditors were going to come and not only take his house, but take his children. He had three beautiful daughters, and it would be a terrible life for him. So he thought if he could hurry up and marry his daughters off, the creditors couldn't take him. Unfortunately, he did not have money for a dowry, which was needed in that area of the world for a legally recognized wedding. Nicholas hears the problem. One night, throws money in the window, provides the dowry. The oldest daughter gets married, does it for the second daughter. When he does it for the third, the dad is expecting it, runs outside, catches him. Nicholas makes him promise not to tell where the money came from because he wants the credit to go to God and not to him. That's the origin of the tradition of secret gift giving and the midnight visits by St. Nicholas on December 6th of 343 A.D.
So wait a second. You said December 6th, yet we celebrate on December 25th.
Right. So that's another chapter. Briefly, he becomes a bishop of Myra. He's arrested. He's put in jail. The Greeks have lots of miracles attributed to him. One time there was a famine, and he talks to sailors into unloading some grain to feed his people. And on their return trip, they say what was left had multiplied. Another one was there was a storm. He prays, the sea becomes calm. Another is he confronts a corrupt politician who's about to execute some people and saves their life. Anyway, he is at the Council of Nicaea. And he supposedly slapped Arius for starting the Arian heresy, so he had a little temper. But he dies in 343 AD, and then you have Vladimir the Great of Russia in 988 converts to Eastern Orthodox Christianity, adopts Nicholas as the patron saint of Russia. But then you have Islam invades, and all seven churches mentioned in the Book of Revelation were destroyed. People forget in 846 AD, 11,000 Muslim Saracen pirates invaded Rome and trashed the bones of St. Peter and St. Paul. That's why Pope Leo built the 39-foot wall around the Vatican. But anyway, as they're coming toward Myra, where Nicholas's grave is, the Christians move his remains to Italy, a little town called Bari. Today it's got about a million people, but there's a cathedral there in the basement. It's a crypt with the remains of Nicholas. And so this is the year 1087 AD. The pope that receives those remains is named Urban II, and you know him because he's the one that went to the Council of Clermont and begged the European kings to send help to these Greek Christians that are being killed by these jihadis, so to speak. Well, now that Nicholas's traditions are in Italy, the Italians like the gift-giving, and so much that it sort of becomes a distraction. So in 1223 AD, St. Francis of Assisi invents the creche scene, the nativity scene, saying we have to get back to the real reason for the season. Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a manger. Then we get to 1517 and Martin Luther. And by this time, there's saints' days for every day of the year, and Martin Luther considers this a distraction. So he gets rid of all the saints' days, including the popular St. Nicholas Day, December 6th. But the Germans like the gift-giving, so he moves all the gift-giving to December 25th and says all gifts come from the Christ child. And the German pronunciation of Christ child is Christkindl, like kindergarten, kindercare, kind means child. And over the years, Christkindl got pronounced Chris Kringle, right? So Chris Kringle is really Christkindl, which is the Christ child, and he's the one, the giver of gifts. Another little twist with Martin Luther is the tree, and if I have a minute, I can share that. Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we all know St. Patrick evangelized Ireland and used a three-leaf clover to teach the Druids, the illiterates about the Trinity. So in the 8th century, you have St. Boniface leaving Britain, and he goes into the woods of the Germans, and he chops down Thor's tree. Thor is where you get the word Thor's Day or Thursday. And he points at a little evergreen, says, let this be the tree of the Christ child. It points toward heaven. Its leaves are evergreen, and it's in the shape of a triangle. And so he says, it teaches the Trinity. And so the evergreen tree was symbolic of Germans converting to Christianity. And so it was Martin Luther that, coming home one night, seeing the crisp, cold sky and the stars twinkling, puts candles in the tree and tells his children, this is like the sky above Bethlehem on the night of Christ's birth. Then you have England. Henry VIII brings the Reformation, not because he wanted to focus on the Christ child like Martin Luther. He just wants another wife. He ends up having six wives. Henry VIII was not a nice guy to be married to. But he brings back an old Roman holiday. People forget Britain used to be a Roman colony. And so this is Saturnalia. This is Saturn's their god of feasting and plenty and merriment, sort of the party guy. If you've ever saw the Christmas Carol with Charles Dickens, you have the spirit of Christmas present, and he's a party guy, right? The wreath, the robes, and the goblet of wine and everything. And they called him Father Christmas. They didn't call him St. Nicholas because saints were outlawed. But under Henry VIII, Christmas in England became a party time. They had a Lord of Misrule. They would have food fights at the banquets. They'd have, mock executions. They'd have a boy be a bishop for the day. And they'd have jugglers and cross-dressing and all kinds of lewd stuff. Even Shakespeare wrote the play, The Twelfth Night, right? It's this carnivalesque, drunken revelry type thing. And so during this time, people forget Mardi Gras used to be a religious day. It was the day before Lent when you would fast 40 days before Easter. Now it's a lewd party. That's what happened with Christmas in England. So the Puritans come along and they outlaw Christmas. They tear down Shakespeare's Globe Theater. And it was during this time that the Pilgrims and Puritans settled America, and they did not celebrate Christmas. Cotton Mather, the Puritan leader, said, can you think that our God is honored by mad mirth and hard drinking and lewd gaming and revelry fit for a Bacchus or a Saturn or a night of Muhammad and Ramadan? He says, you cannot possibly think so, that our holy Savior would be honored by this more hellish stuff in it than heaven. And so it wasn't until the Dutch settled New York that they brought the St. Nicholas traditions to America. So the Dutch is where it gets fun. The Dutch, we're all familiar with the saying, St. Peter's at the gates of heaven. Well, the Dutch do a take on Revelation 19, where Jesus will return at the end of the world to judge living and the dead, riding a white horse. And the saints will come back with him, riding a white horse. And St. Nicholas is a saint, so he'll be one of those riding a white horse. But to the Dutch, he's so special, he gets to come back once a year for a little mini judgment day, a little checkup on the kids, see if they're on the right track. And so the angels, the saints come from heaven. Well, that turns into the North Pole, and the angels turn into the elves, and the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Works turns into the Book of the Naughty and the Nice. And in Norway, they didn't have horses, so they have them riding a reindeer. And so you can see where these traditions started with a biblical theme, but then sort of get a little bit withdrawn from it. And then the Dutch settled New Amsterdam, which became New York. And the first church the Dutch started in downtown Manhattan was the St. Nicholas Dutch Reformed Church. And it went on to become the oldest congregation in New York, and it they ended up building a big cathedral in 1872. Teddy Roosevelt even attended there. But as the city became more financial, they sold it to Sinclair Oil Company, who tore it down. But New York is where the Dutch brought their traditions over, and a couple individuals that sort of took it from the saint. By the way, the Dutch pronunciation of St. Nicholas is Sant Niklaus or Santa Claus. So when you're saying Santa Claus, you're basically using the Dutch pronunciation of St. Nicholas. But in New York, you have Washington Irving. He helps found the St. Nicholas Society. And Washington Irving is an author. He wrote Rip Van Winkle, Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Well, he wrote Dietrich Knickerbocker's History of New York, from the beginning of the Dutch dynasty to the end. And so in 1664 is when the British took it from the Dutch. So in there, he describes Nicholas visiting once a year. But instead of a bishop's outfit, he's wearing a typical Dutch outfit with a long trunk hose called knickerbockers, right? These baggy pants and the leather boots and a belt and a stocking hat. But he's still St. Nicholas, and he still comes once a year, and he's still bringing presents. And then in New York, you have Clement Moore. There's even a park in, I think, on 10th Avenue in New York. That's the Clement Moore Park. And so he writes, he's a Hebrew professor at the Anglican University, and Clement Moore writes a poem for his children, A Visit from St. Nicholas. "'Twas a night before Christmas, all through the house, and I creature was stirring, not even a mouth. Stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there." So we still call St. Nicholas, just shrunk a little bit. Then you have Thomas Nast, Civil War illustrator for Harper's Weekly magazine. And he, you know him because he invented the Republican elephant and Democrat mule for his political cartoons. Well, he does a front page cover of St. Nicholas visiting the Union troops, giving out presents with a little North Pole sign in the background. And it was actually a political cartoon saying St. Nicholas belongs to the North, not the Confederate South. One other person is Haddon Sundblom. You know him because he invented the Quaker Oats Man and the Aunt Jemima syrup. Well, he's hired by Coca-Cola, and Coca-Cola is the best trademark name in the world. And they, for 30 years, have Haddon Sundblom do a painting of Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, drinking Coke. And now he's full grown again. He's got rosy cheeks, ruddy complexion, a nice huggable grandfather. But when you go back, there really was a St. Nicholas who lived during Roman persecution times. He was a Christian. He was a bishop, went into the ministry. He's persecuted for his faith. He was put in jail. He stood up for the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But he was generous and gave to the poor. And so that's what we remember, that the giving, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, William, we're going to have to leave it there. And folks, if you'd like more information about There Really Is a Santa Claus, the history of St. Nicholas and Christmas holiday traditions, you can go to AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, some good news coming out of Capitol Hill this afternoon. This is a bit unusual. But we can tell you that there was an effort by Congressman Al Green to impeach President Trump. They just don't stop, do they, ladies and gentlemen? Well, the good news here is the House has officially rejected Congressman Green's move to impeach the president. He's tried to do this several times before. But here's what's really interesting. 23 Democrats joined House Republicans to kill this impeachment bid. And that tells me maybe, just maybe, ladies and gentlemen, that some Democrats, at least some of the less progressive Democrats, are coming to their senses here. And they understand this is a losing proposition. So anyway, good job. Good job to the House today for pushing back and rejecting this stupid effort to impeach President Trump. Unbelievable. The Democrats, they never learn, do they, folks? They just never, ever learn. All right. I want to play some audio here. This is from Speaker Johnson, and he's pushing back on the Democrats. They're trying to catch Trump on the economy. Here's the speaker, cut 12.
They broke the economy, and now they want to lecture to the American people about affordability. They opened our borders, and now they want to lecture to the American people about immigration border enforcement. They broke the American healthcare system. They caused premiums to skyrocket. And now they have the audacity to tell Republicans that the only way to save it is to throw hundreds of billions of dollars to health insurance companies, which would merely fuel a system that is rife with fraud, waste, and abuse. You cannot be an arsonist and a firefighter at the same time. That's the message for the Democrats.
It's true. You really can't. You can't cause all the problems. And that, no, you can't do that. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. Unbelievable. By the way, the speaker also pretty fired up over Obamacare. And this is going to be a big story as we move ahead. The idea that you had Obamacare sending $94 million to insurance companies on behalf of these dead people, and then allowing tens of thousands of people to use duplicate Social Security numbers. People were literally double dipping. And we heard this from the Department of Agriculture when it came to SNAP benefits. A lot of people were getting multiple SNAP benefits, which is illegal. And one of the things that the administration is going to have to do is they're going to have to consider a serious crackdown on all of this fraud. And by serious crackdown, I mean we have to be very public in the way that we punish these individuals for stealing our money. And that's what it is. It's just downright theft. By the way, I want to share this with you. Our good friends, you hear this all the time on this program, our friends from Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. And a lot of people this time of year, they're looking at maybe making a few switches, finding ways they can save some money. And not only are you going to save money with Patriot Mobile, but you're also going to be doing good, because Patriot Mobile helps a lot of organizations that are fighting for causes we care about, whether it's for the veteran community, whether it's for the Second Amendment community or the pro-life community. Now, a lot of people say it's too much hassle. I don't want to do it. No, it's not. Not with Patriot Mobile. You get to keep your number. You get to keep your phone, or you can upgrade, and their customer service team is based right here in the United States, 100%. So everybody speaks English. You can understand them. So if you'd like information, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Todd. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Todd. And don't forget, folks, head over to toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to read all of our latest news and information. You'll also be sure to download the podcast as well as our newsletter. All right, folks, been a great day. Get out there. Make it a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the radio. Open Line Friday coming up.